This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Hey, good morning to you. It is the 8th day of May on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Kim St. Ange just down the table there. Ethan Bright running the board for us this morning. And Susan Thomas coming up in just a few minutes with your traffic. And here's the thing about it. I just have to tell you, speaking of traffic, my life's about to change for the worse. And I got a boo-hoo from Sue Thomas when I complained to her the other day. And you know why, don't you, Ethan? Because she drives I-55 now, just like you do. Out on the Boone Bridge, they're about to take some of the westbound lanes and move them over into the eastbound lanes to accommodate some painting, apparently, on the bridge out there. I don't know how long it's going to take. But they're closing down three lanes headed westbound. And I just about can envision how bad traffic is going to be in the Chesterfield Valley leading up to that bridge when that happens. Because there's still going to be three lanes going across westbound and three lanes coming eastbound. But you know what's going to happen. For the same reason that the multi-hundred-million-dollar fix to Highway 40 a few years ago didn't fix anything, because there are still curves in the road, that's going to cause backups, I'll bet, from the Boone Bridge all the way to Olive Clarkson.
I'm glad I bet I take 364.
I'll bet it will be a crawl all the way through there. So starting tomorrow is when this happens. This transition happens sometime tomorrow, and my guess is it's going to screw up a little bit of the morning commute, but the evening commute, as people head back west, it's just going to be a nightmare till they can get that thing taken care of. Hopefully they do it quickly.
That's what's nice about living in this area, having grown up in the area. You know the shortcuts, so you can say, okay, well, if this is closed, then I can take here.
You got to find a different bridge.
Well, yeah, but you could also go 364.
You're going to have to.
270 to 364.
Yeah, that's going to be the preferred route, I'm thinking, for a while now. But just so you know, that's coming. I sent it to Sue the other day, and I'm like, did you know about this? She goes, cry me a river. I drive.
You want me to get out my tiny violin for you, Mark?
Exactly. And we don't even drive it at rush hour, generally speaking. So I guess I can't complain too awful much. Now, tomorrow on the show, I've got a little personal treat. This is just the host scheduled this because these things interest the host. Tomorrow, Chris Canale is going to join us on the show tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Chris happens to be the guy who runs Old Dominic, the bourbon distillery, all the way down in Memphis. And he's in town right now. He's going to be in town tonight for a tasting of some of his product out at Lit Cigar Lounge in the Valley. I think that's like 5:30 to 7:30 or something like that. He's going to be out there. And then in the morning before he heads back to Memphis, he's going to swing by here and do an interview with us. It's just a great story because his great-great-great-grandfather started Old Dominic back in the 1800s, and they've rejuvenated the brand 7 or 8 or 10 years ago, and they're making some fantastic products down there. Not just bourbon. They make vodka and toddy and all that good stuff. So looking forward to that tonight. Should be fun.
Can see why you're excited.
I am. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, the host called that one. I'll just tell you. All right, coming up, we're going to get to our buddy Tom Ackerman here at the bottom of the hour. Can't talk about hockey anymore, I guess, but we will talk about baseball for sure. And maybe the St. Louis City, they won last night 2-0, I think, in that series. And that's good for them. Happy for them. We'll get to Tom at the bottom of the hour. We've got In on the News coming up. Elliot Davis from Fox 2 in the next hour, about 7:35. He's going to talk about a bunch of things, and not just crime in the city, but maybe the new fence they've put up around the civil courts building over here, the former criminal courts building that's been vacant for a while. Sits there right across from Enterprise Center. And the fences went away, and now some of the fencing is back. And I'm not quite sure what they're after over there, but Elliot's been down there asking some questions at City Hall. So we'll check in with him. It's always a good time at about 7:35 or so. Right now, though, Ethan, let's get to some of our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You run a campaign and you do 3 or 4 or 5 rallies in a week. The only way you can get around to talk to 30,000 people. Think I'm going to be sitting on a waiting line at United waiting, you know, what, 30,000 people are waiting? That's the only way you can get around.
Yeah, it's okay for me to do it. And I also support a green agenda, Bernie Sanders says, where we're not leaving a big CO2 footprint out there while the guy flies on a private jet around the country to complain about rich people.
What Dr. Fauci, and I would even call him a doctor, he was experimenting on Americans. He was experimenting on our military.
Yeah. Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna yesterday talking about Anthony Fauci and the fact that there are growing calls for him to testify before Congress again based on some of the new information we found out about what he was doing with Wuhan, China.
Mr. President, Senator Phyllis has come out against Ed Martin as U.S. attorney. Do you have any response to that?
Well, it's disappointing. If anybody voted against him, I feel very badly about it.
Yeah, I didn't think the president's response to Senator Tom Tillis was nearly as the condemnation it should have been. Maybe they're still negotiating behind the scenes there. But what a shame that this one senator from North Carolina is going to screw up the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C.
It's kind of sad to me that these folks are choosing to grind personal political axes instead of going to work at the Kennedy Center. I mean, most people in America don't have the luxury of being able to call in sick from politics.
Yeah. Go woke, go broke. You know what this stems from, Kim? This is, of course, the president changed everything over at the Kennedy Center. Got rid of a bunch of the libs that have run it forever, and he put some new people on the board. I think he got rid of Doug Emhoff, the former first dude, or second dude, I'm sorry. Yep. Wanted to be the first dude. They got rid of him, and all of the libs are fighting back because how dare Donald Trump have anything to say with the arts? Because they hate Orange Man bad. They don't have any good reason for it. They loved the guy when he was an entertainer, and they hate him now that he's a politician because he's not pushing their agenda. But that's what Scott Jennings was talking about. They're supposed to perform Les Mis at the Kennedy Center. Except when they found out Trump was going to come to see one of the performances, half of the apparently cast announced they wouldn't perform for him.
Oh my gosh.
Could you imagine having that luxury to just decide, well, I don't like you, so I'm not going to go to work today.
So they would obviously be paid, right?
I don't know. I assume that there's some sort of equity union involved here, but
there should be some sort of a consequence. I mean, go ahead, say you're not going to, but you're off the tour, you're off. There has to be something more than just, I get to decide I don't want to perform for Trump.
It was Scott Jennings who brought this up. Yeah, I thought he put it pretty well. Go to cut 15 there, please.
These people are too fragile to show up for work. I mean, the Kennedy Center is like America's theater. I mean, the president appoints the people who are on the board of the Kennedy Center. We use it for all kinds of big national events. No matter who the president is. And so it's kind of sad to me that these folks are choosing to grind personal political axes instead of going to work at the Kennedy Center. I mean, most people in America don't have the luxury of being able to call in sick from politics, but it sounds like that's what these people did.
Exactly what they're doing.
I don't like Kamala Harris. I'm not a fan of Joe Biden, a lot of different leaders. And I would never do that. Like, it's just so sad when people are that angry that they can't even do their job.
They can't function. It's their way of fighting.
Paralyzing
back.
Them.
Your way of fighting. Well, it wouldn't be the first time that the theater community has punished somebody because of their conservative political views.
Has any former president you can think of had an impact the way that Trump has, where like a Les Mis cast is saying, I'm not even performing for him, I'm boycotting?
I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think back. Remember when the Dixie Chicks and some of the others were like that, really hated George W. Bush? And I mean, when you think back to how mild George W. Bush was, that's kind of shocking in hindsight. But and they wouldn't perform for him and they were angry with him and all that. So you've seen some pushback like that before. It's not new stuff. It's just the left throwing a temper tantrum because they're allowed to get away with it. The media is not blasting them for it at all. So I'm glad Scott Jennings is for sure. All right. When we come back, I want you to hear a little bit more about what they've come up with on Anthony Fauci. You know, he's coming to town for just $475. You too can see him as part of the speaker series. You can't buy individual tickets to go see Fauci. You have to buy tickets for the whole series where they lined up all these liberals to come to town and speak over at Maryville University. But Fauci's coming to town. We'll talk more about what they announced yesterday and why there may be some more political hearings in Congress, some congressional hearings on Anthony Fauci, trying to get him to answer some questions. We'll be back.
Fauci said everybody said it was not gain of function. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And ultimately, Dr. Fauci is going to need to come back in and explain why he made this decision. There ultimately will be an interview, either voluntarily or involuntarily. If he won't come, he will have to come back and explain to the American people why he decided to fund this research in China. This may be one of the greatest medical errors in modern history. And he bears a large part of the responsibility for this.
Thank you. Which is one more reason why this general pardon by Joe Biden is so infuriating, and why is it more than anything else he signed? I would love to see a court decision ruling that whoever put the auto pen to that was not Joe Biden, and therefore it's not valid. Because the blanket immunity he gave to this guy, right? He didn't go back to 2020 when COVID started. He went back to 2014. That is a very specific date. Why did Joe Biden go all the way back to 2014 to issue a blanket pardon for Dr. Anthony Fauci? The highest, at that point, the highest paid person in U.S. government service, made like $410,000 a year, something like that. He was the highest paid public servant in the country. Why do they need to protect him for 11 years? Yeah, because he signed that. Well, he signed that in 2025. So, yeah, 2014, 11 year period. Anything he did during that 11 years, whether he murdered somebody or just gave COVID to half the world because it was released from a lab where they were doing gain of function research, he's off the hook. What's he not off the hook for? They now have evidence of what he did. If they call him into court and he lies about it, or if he can't claim the fifth, because there's nothing self, they can't self-incriminate because he's got a pardon.
Would there be a workaround with that?
Well, if he refuses to testify, they could jail him for contempt.
I was going to say be contempt of court, right?
Thank you.
So that'll be very interesting if they can get him to talk. I just have a feeling that Fauci will be coached in a way where he's not pleading the fifth because he can't, but he'll find some way to not have to disclose something.
Go to the Jamie Comer bite here, Congressperson James Comer, a 14.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was the instigator. He was the face. He was the hero. In the end, he's the villain. Yes, we were funding gain-of-function research. It was secret. Dr. Fauci was a one-man show. He lied about it. And the first step is banning it in the future. Hopefully, the second step will be Pam Bondi bringing Dr. Fauci in to try to start some accountability.
You'll be hearing about that on the Will Cain Show. If that is true, what you just said, that he lied, then there should be perjury charges. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Maybe. But I don't understand how the pardon plays into it. I'm looking at, it's a full and unconditional pardon for any offenses against the United States he may have committed or taken during a period from January 1st, 2014 through the date of this pardon. So I don't know in any manner related to his service as director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, as a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, or the White House COVID-19 response team, or his chief medical advisor to the president. He pardoned him for all of it.
Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. By the way, I was talking about this workaround. I don't know who you are, FR, on YouTube, but I don't recall. That's exactly what he'll say. I can't remember. I don't recall that. And that's going to be the workaround where he can avoid having to say, I plead the fifth, but he won't actually have to disclose information. By the way, and I'm glad Lisa brought this up on Facebook, she's saying that Dr. Casey Means has been nominated for Surgeon General. Trump switched who he was nominating. Dr. Casey Means, if you're not familiar with her, she's phenomenal. She and her brother, Cal, I think it's Callie, C-A-L-L-E-Y is her brother. They've been very outspoken. I've heard her on multiple podcasts. She has a medical background, but then she ended up opening up a functional medicine practice. She's so impressive. And this is huge. If she can get confirmed, this is going to be amazing. Like, that's a dream team with RFK Jr. and Casey Means.
Good. It's good news. I did see a headline to that effect that he had switched. There were a lot of people not thrilled with who he had initially promoted for that. So
you guys should look up Casey Means. If you're not familiar with her background and what got her passionate, it has to do with her family and a diagnosis, I believe, is with her mom. It's very interesting.
Well, good. All right. Coming up here, we're going to get Tom Ackerman. He'll be in studio, as he always is, on a Thursday morning. We'll talk a little bit about the Cardinals, maybe that City game last night where our friend Alex Rich got to play the national anthem and just crushed it. We're very proud of him for that. Great job, Alex. And, of course, next hour, former Senator Jim Talent, Elliot Davis. We've got Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins. Lots to get to this morning. Stick around. Rock your body right.
Backstreet's back, all right. A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
That music was not host approved, I just have to tell you.
Oh, come on.
Mark, I listened to your Van Halen and all the other things.
Yeah.
Come on.
I could do this whole segment on
music. Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, dude.
They're back, all right.
If you played Backstreet Boys at any sporting event, you'd get that place jumping. That's all good. Anything with a little energy, it's fine. It's morning.
Thank you, Tom.
Right? There, you're welcome. Absolutely.
I'm getting over there. You see that look?
I didn't mind it at all.
I'm usually outnumbered here with the music choice, and I'm not saying the Backstreet Boys would probably be your go-to, nor is it mine. But
no,
Tom understands there can be good music aside from Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, my go-to is, you know, Grateful Dead. Or I like, my favorite jam band outside of the Dead is Widespread Panic. I love them. I like at night, like late at night, play a little John Coltrane, a little jazz.
Okay.
Sometimes
when
I'm making...
You like Kenny G?
No, that's newer jazz. Yeah, I like the older stuff. Sometimes when I'm, you know, making dinner, I listen to Frank Sinatra.
Mm. Wow.
I love listening to Frank
Sinatra.
Do
you have vinyl, or do you have a record player?
I have vinyl down in the basement.
Do you? Yeah.
I actually bought a Pioneer used record player speakers and an amp at the Record Exchange on Hampton not long ago, and got hooked up, and you know, I got an old record collection, and I'm kind of adding to it. So I like to now bounce around to record stores. Euclid Records in Webster Groves is one. Vintage Vinyl, of course. Record Exchange. There are a lot of great ones. And I'm like a bargain hunter, so I try to find, you know, a good cheap one that a good find.
Yeah.
Occasionally I'll drop 20, 25 bucks on a nice one, but like, you know, anything $10 or less, if you can find a good one, it's great. And play a little music downstairs. And I've got all kinds of different, you know, likes. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
I found my old record collection the other day. It's in the basement in a box. And, of course, you won't be surprised. You know, there was Led Zeppelin in there.
No.
And, Van Halen. You wouldn't be surprised to hear that. Kiss. I've got Kiss Rock and Roll Over. I had Paul Stanley sign that for me one time. And then I found The Captain and Tennille. Why in the world that record, I ever bought that record, I don't know. But I had that in my collection.
That's great. When you go outside of classic rock, where do you go?
That's a good question.
Classical?
No. I'll listen to Sinatra. I love listening to some of that older stuff.
Yeah,
I think that is fantastic.
That isn't it great?
We have a record player.
Dean Martin.
Embarrassingly, we did not know you needed. We thought that the speaker just was like part of the record player. So we don't have a speaker for it. So it's actually sitting in our living room, and I have a Chris Stapleton record, but we can't play it yet.
Love Stapleton.
Yeah.
Man, I love Stapleton. He's one of the best.
Wasn't he here recently?
He wasn't here last year, but he'll be here this summer, July 11th, to be specific.
Sell out Enterprise, I'm sure.
Hey, you know.
No, he plays Riverport. Plays,
really?
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. Uh-huh.
Speaking of playing, Alex Rich, our own Alex Rich here from the radio station, played the national anthem last night at the City Game.
I did see that. I was not
earlier.
There, but I heard about it and saw a great photo was texted to me of him and his fiance, and my great friend Tamar Scher sent that along, so... I'm happy for him. Love Alex. Known him since he was in college, actually. I've known him since he was at Indiana University.
He did go
University.
To Indiana, didn't he? Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's my fault that he's here. I actually talked our sales department into hiring him.
That's
okay.
Cool.
I said, I know this guy. He's like a, you know.
He's a Hoosier?
He's like a puppy dog, but you can get him into a killer sales account executive, and he's become
he
that. And an on-air personality.
Yeah. And they won yesterday, 2-0.
They did, so good for them. And the Cardinals won their fifth in a row, and they have the longest winning streak in baseball right now. The Cardinals and the Royals at 5 in a row. Cardinals are an exciting, fun product. They... put on a show yesterday. Victor Scott II did something I have not seen, and Victor said he's never done in his career. He scored from first base twice, once on a single. Lars Nootbaar, base hit to right. Victor was taking off on the hit, so he rounds second, goes to third. Fielder, you know, gets it in right field, and Victor just keeps on going. It's Victor Scott. You better be ready. They throw it home, safe. So he scores from first on a single. That just doesn't happen. Then he scored on a double from first base. Said he's never done that in his career. He's an incredibly fast and exciting player, and the Cardinals have some exciting, fun players.
Yeah.
They're talk about puppy dogs. You know, they're a young, fun team that's going to make mistakes, but they're all sort of learning on the job, it seems. Even a veteran like Wilson Contreras, he's learning how to play first base, and he's good at it. And the Cardinals won another game. They've won 5 in a row now. They're back to .500. And it'll get interesting.
Pitching pretty solid.
Yeah, Sonny Gray had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, and he
right?
wasn't before. You know, he came off a bad outing against the Mets, but he was really good yesterday. And I think the biggest key is they've sort of solidified the bullpen. They had all kinds of problems. They were blowing games. Now they actually have a nice little mix here. Steven Matz has gone from the rotation back into the bullpen. Gordon Graceffo has been called up to shut down the ninth when they don't use Ryan Helsley, who's one of the best in baseball. Chris Roycroft was used yesterday. He's kind of a work in progress, but Kyle Leahy has moved into a really good setup, man. So yeah, the Cardinals have a nice-looking, fun team right now that needs to prove they can do this on the road. They've won 15 home games already, the most in baseball, 15-6, but on the road they've not been good at all. So they've got to figure this out. They're playing at Washington, Philly, and Kansas City. Next three series are all on the road.
Good. So maybe we'll get some butts in the seats again. I did notice that at the because yesterday would have been a beautiful day for the day game.
Yep.
And then by evening, the rain moved in. And when I was looking at the video of Alex singing at the City game, and then I looked at some of the highlights on their website, there were some empty seats down there. And I'm guessing the rain probably drove people back under the awnings, and I just couldn't see them back there.
Last night? Yeah, well, yeah. It's not an MLS game. You know, yeah, it was a U.S. Open Cup game. And as much as the fans wanted them to be in the U.S. Open Cup, they didn't exactly buy up all the tickets for that. The MLS season is sold out, so it's just a different, you know, matchup. You're playing a lesser opponent, not your starters. They don't really put the starters in for that game, so that could be part of the reason. I thought the crowd at Busch Stadium yesterday was, you know, enthusiastic and, you know, grew into a decent little crowd. But, yeah, you need, you know, it's 72 degrees, sunny. I mean, you know, you remember the days when they would pack day games there. So it's just kind of warming the crowd up to understanding that this team is fun to watch. And eventually they'll grow back to the power that they used to be, and you get the place packed again.
Yeah, that's good. I was glad to see people turn out. I had a chance to go to that game yesterday and couldn't because of something else that was going on. But they would have been great. I think they were like Redbird Club seats. I hated that I had to turn them down. Why does that always happen? Like somebody drops tickets on you the day before, you can't make it happen. Yeah. It was so frustrating.
I got to go do a sports cast, but you call me and I'll get those tickets in somebody's hands anytime.
All right, I'll let you know.
Might even be happens. Me. Just
yeah,
there,
no kidding.
Drinking a beer and eating a hot dog. All right, guys. Thanks, always Tom. A pleasure.
See you, Tom.
See
you. You bet. We'll play you some Sinatra next time you come in. How about that? That's good.
You know, I would like good Sinatra. I always advocate for Sinatra.
Wow, we found some common ground there. I know,
believe it or not. Yeah. Wow.
Like when I got to pick music that day, we had some Sinatra. And you're like, who? Mark picked this?
I picked Sinatra when I had music.
I love Sinatra. I told you I saw him in concert.
I know, that would be awesome. I hate that he was kind of a playboy, right?
Who, Sinatra?
Yeah.
Well, when he was younger, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, not.
He was part of the Rat Pack.
His older days, but
it's what they did when it was politically correct. Before the hashtag MeToo thing came along, they just went out and had themselves a time.
Oh, I'm sure.
She's eyeballing me. All right, coming up, we're going to get to another news. Stick around for that. Next hour, Jim Talent and Elliot Davis. I wanted to kind of debrief Elliot. He got to go to the one of the news conferences with the new mayor and pointed out that a number of things she said sounded a whole lot like the old mayor, as we suspected it might. So we'll get Elliot's take on that coming up at about 7:35. Back here in just a minute.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
All right, raise your hand if you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park. Anybody in the studio?
Mm-mm.
Sue, have you been out there?
I haven't.
Here's what you need to know about Yellowstone National Park. There's lots of wild animals. And even though the 2,000-pound bison appear to be big teddy bears, they warn you everywhere not to approach them. I remember being out there, and you could walk down a wooden footpath, and there would be a bison laying 20 feet from you, like on the ground or something, right? But they also stand alongside of the roads, and sometimes they block traffic, and they warn you everywhere, don't get out of your car to approach them. And every year, some idiot does that. So this is the latest story. A Florida man,
of course,
got gored by a bison in Yellowstone National Park this week. On May 4th, the 47-year-old approached the bison to get a picture and got gored by one of the horns.
So is he okay?
It's the first bison injury in 2025. There were two in 2024 where some idiot walked up. He's going to be okay. Apparently it was
They didn't hit any major organs, so he's going to survive his stupidity.
Darwin
did not win this one.
Ugh.
I mean, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more at Lone Elk Park because they have bison there,
yeah.
And they'll get real close to your car.
Well, the ones in Yellowstone are wild. Maybe the ones are out there a little more tame. I don't know, but anyway.
Anyway, hey, did you hear that 19 people are suing Burger King because they're claiming the fast food chain advertises its burgers as large burgers compared to the competitors, and they show these oversized meat patties and ingredients that overflow over the bun, and they say it makes these burgers appear to be 35% larger in size and contain more than double the meat than the actual burger. So they're basically suing them, saying it's false advertising.
Good. There's no doubt. All of the burgers have shrunk in size. Yeah,
that
don't
is
Don't you
true.
Think?
Yeah.
No, it's absolutely true.
I am more than annoyed by lawsuits that are so stupid like this. It's ridiculous.
Don't people realize
I want big
that it's not realistic? I watched a clip on social media where it's like they're painting on things mm-hmm. to the lettuce and the burger to make it look juicier,
okay.
and they're pinning down the pickles so that they're perfectly assembled
yes.
the way they want it.
It's called
food staging.
Right.
It's
a real burger. They didn't just make it from
right.
some Joe Schmo who flipped it in the back and say, "Here you go, take a picture."
Had Brad Young on yesterday, and his wife worked as a food stylist briefly.
Wow.
And she came onto the set one night. They said, all right, we're shooting a turkey tomorrow. You got to roast a turkey. And she roasted it the whole way, and they said, oh, no, no. You only do it for 30 minutes, and then we put shoe polish and all this stuff on it to make it look shiny and beautiful.
Oh, wow.
So this is just tips of the trade, but this has been going on forever. It's called food styling, people.
Yeah, there you go.
It's the art
Get
of the meal.
Get over it.
It's
true. Sue.
Art of the deal.
I didn't know Sue would have such strong feelings about this. But
that kind of stuff drives me nuts.
I back you up on that.
Thank you.
Hey, so I only became familiar with this term this year. Have you heard of the senior assassin game?
No.
Nope.
So this is something new that they do at high schools. They play this game. They do it at my daughter's high school, the seniors. You get a hit list, and you're supposed to go out and hit these people with a squirt gun. And they can't do it on school property, so they go out and they like lay in wait outside of people's houses and outside of their cars. And if you're wearing goggles and you get hit, it doesn't count. You have to catch the person when they don't have their goggles on, and then you can spray them with a squirt gun and you win. And at the end of the year, the person that got the most people on their list, I don't know what they win,
yeah,
but
win
this
what?
Is this big game, right?
A bad
well,
act.
Well, but people carry it too far, and now a high school baseball star is on life support while playing the senior assassin game because he ran up to surprise a girl who was getting into her car. And it was a Jeep, and he jumped onto the back bumper to spray her through the roof, and she took off and hit a bump, and he went flying off and hit his head on the pavement. So it can be dangerous. I'd never heard of the game before this year, but it's apparently a thing at high schools these days.
It's a lot of time to be waiting outside someone's home, just hoping they'll come out without wearing goggles.
My daughter's friend got some assassin got him at 1 a.m. as he was leaving a party or something. So it happens. Yeah.
Do you have to get proof of this, or like you just say you hit him?
I guess somebody's recording it. I don't know. This was recorded.
People have too much time on their hands.
I'm entertained by it, but I'm sorry he got hurt.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Sue, this will impact you potentially. I don't know if you heard about how Zillow has come out with some new regulations. They're saying it's about transparency, but others are accusing the company of basically this power play. So what they're going to do is they're saying that if any property has been listed publicly, like whether it's yard signs, social media posts, or on a brokerage website, but not listed on the local MLS within one business day, then that property will no longer appear on Zillow.
Now, see, I don't know how it works outside of a real estate agent world. In other words, if you put your house for sale by market, for sale by owner, would it be normally on Zillow and now they're saying you can't?
I would think, right? You would just take your own pictures and then you would ask Zillow to post it?
I don't know. No idea. So
yeah, I think you used to be able to do that for sale by owner.
All right. So I don't know how that works. It benefits me, so yay.
There you go. That's good. All right. Coming up in the next hour, what in the world is going on with the homeless policy in the city of St. Louis? We'll find out. Elliot Davis, formerly of Fox 2, is going to join us about 7:35. Stay tuned.